40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. At the COP27 Climate Change Summit in Egypt, President Biden says new spending on clean energy initiatives has cemented his country's commitment to fighting global warming.
Thanks to the actions we've taken, I can stand here as President of the United States of America and say with confidence, the United States of America will meet our emissions targets by 2030.
The president discussed a new supplemental rule that will crack down on methane emissions, expanding on a similar regulation his administration released last year. Methane is a potent greenhouse gas.
Methane is 80 times more potent than carbon, and it accounts for nearly half of the net warming we're experiencing now. So cutting methane by at least 30% by 2030 can be our best chance.
U.S. commitment is some $375 billion over a decade to fight climate change. I'm Ed Donahue.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Only 17% of Native Americans continue their education after high school. One tribal college in Wisconsin is working hard to buck that trend. Mike Moen reports.
This fall, the College of Menominee Nation kicked off a year-long celebration as it observes its 30th anniversary. School President Christopher Caldwell says it's important to display how much of an asset the campus is to the community. He says part of that plays out in welcoming Indigenous students who didn't have a good experience in trying out a mainstream college or university.
And so they come back home, they might not have their degree, or they come back with debt.
Caldwell says schools like his closely work with these students, and he hopes their welcoming environment rubs off on mainstream campuses. He says places like CMN are also important because they can educate the community about a local tribe's history. This year's celebration coincides with the 50th anniversary of the Menominee Restoration Act of 1973. That policy reversed an earlier decision by Congress to terminate Menominee status as a federally recognized tribe. Caldwell says it's an important story to keep telling.
We really, as an academic institution, represent the intent of that act in all of the efforts of what our tribal nations look to do, which is to assert their sovereignty, their self-determination.
And he says they're working to revitalize traditional aspects of the Menominee language and culture. That coincides with similar efforts around the country to prevent Indigenous languages from going extinct as a number of tribes lose their elders. Caldwell says it's a key example of the role an institution like his can play and something other colleges can learn from. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
And for Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice. Where your mouth is.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it, unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. The kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was
determining that I was going to do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to pre-recorded content on Devil Radio. To see our station's entire live lineup, check out DevilRadio927.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be Indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Awesome, and I can't wait to hear Ogama's next. This portion is brought to you by, because it's a long one, right, Ogama?
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Development Institute, and they would like to remind everybody that there are limited performances through December 15th of She Who Lives on the Road to War by Rosie Sema's Dance at the All My Relations Arts Gallery. You can go to allmyrelationsarts.com for ticket information or visit NACDI.org for more information.
Well, Wendy, why don't we lead off with the news that you don't hear anywhere else here. We're going to listen to some Native news by Ogama. And welcome, Ogama, and welcome everybody all out there on the Civic Media Network.
Hi, Buju, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe, and I am a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. And I have some news for you this week. Tomorrow, there's going to be a opening panel on findings from Wadukawad Amikwag, the Line 3 destruction that they've documented. The Line 3 pipeline across northern Minnesota was constructed during late 2020 and all throughout 2021. But contrary to the state's limited assessment of harm, volunteers and experts with Wadukawad Amikwag have demonstrated that there is permanent disturbance of surface and groundwaters with ecological damage at least 45 different sites across the headwaters of the Red River of the North, the Mississippi River, the St. Louis River, and the Lake Superior watersheds. Tomorrow at 12 p.m. Central, November 16th, the opening panel will have volunteers with the Citizen Science Organization and Monitoring Group group present their findings on the ecological damage caused by the Line 3 pipeline construction that is still observable more than a year after its construction. And they will also share updates on the action that they are calling for from state and federal agencies. And also at 7 p.m. Central tomorrow, November 16th, there will be follow-up discussions, including Q&A with the members of Wadukawad Amikwag. You can sign up via the Wadukawad Amikwag page on Facebook or check out their YouTube channel. It's under Wadukawad Amikwag, but it's also under Those Who Protect the Beaver, which is what it translates to. The Sierra Club North Star chapter also has the link available for those who would like to attend. Again, the findings meeting is tomorrow at noon, and the Q&A is tomorrow at 7 p.m. immediately following Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I just wanted to make sure people were aware of that. This one came into us from the Minneapolis University of Minnesota's Wiseman's Arts Museum, and they are announcing that they have received a grant award from the Institute of Museum and Library Services in the amount of nearly $240,000, and it is part of the agency's Competitive Museums for America program. And the University of Minnesota Wiseman Art Museum is one of 120 organizations across the country who received a Museums for America grant from that organization this year. But what's really special about that is that the grant that they received is going to fund a truth and reconciliation project at the Wiseman Art Museum, including support for consultation and with Indigenous communities and to address issues of reconciliation and repair for harm done by the museum in the past, as well as to work towards decolonization of museum practice now and going forward. The project is informed by a materials inventory, which is going to be completed in December of this year, and ongoing repatriation projects through cultural belongings currently housed at the Wiseman Art Museum at the U of M. The truth and reconciliation work at this museum involves close collaboration with an Indigenous-led advisory board, and they're really excited to make this announcement. So I'm pretty grateful to hear that that is coming up. How about you, Robert?
Yeah, totally grateful. Good call there, Ogma.
Yeah. This Thursday is Native Rise 2022, the Legacy of Leadership. So Thursday, November 17th, 2022, from 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Intercontinental St. Paul Riverfront Hotel in Minneapolis. It is hosted by the American Indian OIC, and it is an event to join prominent leaders from the next generation of Native leaders and honor those who have come before. The keynote speakers this year are really, really wonderful people who are doing great work in Indian country, in the local community in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Really excited to talk about that and to invite people to sign up. You can still sign up, I believe, through the day of the event, again, this Thursday. So make sure you check out hashtag NativeRise2022 to find that information and track that down. Robert, this is one that I missed earlier this month. St. Paul artist Marlena Miles did the Google Doodle for November 1st for American Indian Month. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, and I don't think she's from St. Paul. I think she's from South Dakota.
I think her reservation's in South Dakota, but she resides in St. Paul right now. I seen the Google Doodle, and it's a really fabulous Google Doodle. It involves Native people smudging and playing lacrosse or creator's game. Wow. And the smoke from the smudging spells out the G, and there's a medicine wheel in the sun for the two O's. And just, it's this really interesting art piece that she did. And I seen it come through on Google Doodles, and it slipped my mind to see who the artist was. And the Sahan Journal did a story on it. Jada Gray Eagle did the photos for it, but I was pretty excited to see a St. Paul local artist got the Google Doodle. It's exciting.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, Robert, what can we talk about? We have been so enamored with elections that we haven't gotten a chance to update people on the Leonard Peltier Walk for Justice.
Right. And we hope
so.
We hope to have Rachel on this week sometime to give us an update.
Yes, the walk organizer Rachel Thunder was at a rally on Sunday in the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. The American Indian Movement's Grand Governing Council began the 1,100-mile walk for Leonard Peltier for Leonard Peltier's Walk for Justice on September 1st, and the group completed their final mile on Sunday from the Washington Monument to the Lincoln Memorial with about 2,000 supporters in tow. So that was amazing, and there was a huge rally that happened yesterday, and they are asking for Leonard Peltier to be released. Rachel Thunder said at the rally that they marched 1,103 miles for our people and for justice for our people. And when Leonard is free, we are all free. Leonard Peltier was convicted in 1977 of aiding and abetting the murder of two Federal Bureau of Investigation, or FBI, agents during the standoff in the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in June of 1975, and was sentenced to two consecutive terms of life imprisonment and incarceration, and has been incarcerated now for more than 47 years. Many of the people involved in Leonard Peltier's legal counsel have noted that aiding and abetting murder would not receive two consecutive terms of life imprisonment, and that the situations in which Leonard Peltier was imprisoned were not legal. So if you have not yet, make sure to honor Leonard Peltier, who was on Native Roots Radio just a few short weeks ago. And please take a moment to write to President Biden, to the White House, and ask for clemency for Leonard Peltier.
Hey, Pina Gigi, thank you. Hey, we got a jam-packed show. We got Nancy Bolio of MN350 and Bemidji 350, and we're going to talk a little bit about some politics, and we also have our sacred animal section with Wendy Pilot coming up too. So a jam-packed day here on Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back.
Stay with us.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
We are joined by the 57th Assembly District Representative, Lee Snodgrass. Thanks for being here.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
How do I need to adapt this based on what has changed since I first introduced it? Government does not move fast. I'm sure that's a shocker to all of you guys. Public policy doesn't change until public opinion changes.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 24 today under overcast skies with a chance for scattered snow showers. West winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight. Chance for snow showers. Lows dip down to about 6 above. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Highs around 28. About an inch of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, everybody. I just wanted to let you know, too, that I needed health insurance coverage that I could count on and afford. And MinSure helped me to find a plan that worked for me, and they helped me save money. Most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MinSure, and they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to mnsure.org today to get started and get covered for the new year.
Hey, thank you both. Wendy, right on, and Ogama, thank you so much. Hey, we're here with Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350, and MN 350, and, you know, star of Rock the Vote Native Style here, too, on Native Roots Radio. Welcome, Nancy. I can't see you, but welcome.
Yeah, it's always kind of dark here in northern Minnesota. Too much snow, but, yeah, it's always a pleasure to be here. And, again, I'm from the northern tribe, one of the northern tribes here in Leech Lake. So kind of relieved that the elections are over. I know we had a victory here in Minnesota, you know, but not everything feels that, you know, like we did a whole lot of winning. This Congressional District 8 was a failed part of this election, and it was really disheartening because after redistricting, all the northern tribes are within Congressional District 8. And, you know, I can only speak from our local experience here, from the area that where I am from. You know, we looked into who voted and where the votes were coming from. And it was disheartening to find out that many of our relatives did not get out and vote. And I think the reason for that was because of lack of funding. We did get some money, but there wasn't enough money to, you know, be spread throughout the seven tribes in northern Minnesota. And I think they made the assumption that we had high voter turnout in 2020 when Biden versus Trump. We did. And I'm still, you know, feeling a little let down here, not because of things we didn't do, but because we've been saying for the last couple of cycles that there's a lot of you know, people that don't understand the importance of voting. They don't even understand the local government, what they're responsible for, the state elections, what they're responsible for, the federal government. And when we don't understand how the system works, then we don't really engage in it. And most of the time, we're just trying to struggle from day to day. And, you know, voting in this colonized world doesn't matter to most of our people. But what we found out, door knocking for midterms, which, again, a lot of people only think you vote for the president. And, you know, talking to Mark Morrissey, he was on the elections board for 2020. He realized, you know, through the votes that were coming in, most people only voted for the president's election and left the rest blank. So again, that goes to the lack of voter education, the local, state, you know, candidates as well. Those are important, and especially the local ones, because local races have a more direct impact on our daily lives. And so a little discouraged, but not feeling whipped here, not at all, because you know, we saw that, you know, the DFL did a great job, you know, state-wise, and that trifecta is actually going to do us a whole lot of good. And I think, you know, looking for what our work looks like for 2024, I think that starts now. We're actually already thinking about what that looks like. Because, you know, when we were out there, Robert, you know what? We found out people didn't even, you know, not alone understand that there was midterm elections, but they didn't know the issues that were at stake. So when we door knocked, we literally, it took all day long, almost every day, because we had to explain, you know, the process of midterms and the issues that were at stake. And they're like, wow, I didn't know that. So, Wow. Yeah, I think we have a lot of work to do thinking about 2024.
Yeah, that makes sense, though. I mean, I take it for granted that everyone's kind of a political junkie like me, listening to political shows, having a political show, listening to Matt McNeil, The Devil's Advocate, and then the morning shows on my walk. But people aren't. People are strapped. People are working. People are busy. And so how do we educate these people, Nancy?
Well, you know, again, I think what really worked for our efforts, you know, I think our efforts, the ones that we gave in the communities we went into, they were effective. And the reason why was, one, when we were out door knocking for candidates, we didn't only talk about the candidates, because most of the time our people think of political candidates as a stranger in a suit, just a name on a ballot, and they know nothing more. And so what we did is not only, you know, talk about the candidates, but what was at stake. And these candidates were there to help protect these rights. And they're like, wow. So they were like connecting the dots. So I think actually investing in these communities, we have to understand that, you know, they're going to need more than our vote, or, you know, just to show up or think that we're going to show up. I think we need to be educated. We need to get have the resources to make community investment happen, because we don't have the money to go door knock every community. But we think, you know, if we get funding, we got time on our side, and not wait for, you know, these funders to throw us money three months before election and say, hey, get people registered to vote. We need to be working now. We need to be engaging in these communities and finding out what the issues are, and reminding these people that we, the people, hold the power, and that these elected officials are basically winning these seats because it's people like us voting them into office. But then again, there's more work to do, and we call that civic engagement. So I think teaching our people about what local, state, and federal governments are responsible for, and why they're important to us. What are primary elections? What are midterm elections? Because, like I said earlier, we mostly show up just for the presidential election. But again, we see the candidates that align with our values, people like, Jamie Becker Finn, Mary Kunish Bodine, and we got some new ones. We got Alicia Kalowski, we got Marie Isha. So we really need to invest in these candidates that are really being our voices, because, you know, we're tired of being the forgotten people, but we really have to do our part by finding out how this system works and how we can beat this system by showing up. And sometimes people are conflicted. Nancy, I thought you didn't like politics. I don't. I certainly don't. But they're kind of fun, though, Robert. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would. Hey, and one of the things I wanted to jump in and say, too, now that we have the trifecta, too, I think our work is beginning to push the left even more left. You know, it's time. They're workable. And I think that's what's good about the DFL. We can work with them on issues where the other party definitely couldn't work. And, one of the things, we were really lucky, Nancy, and have been blessed over the years here on Native Roots Radio to have politicians stop in on a semi-regular basis, but the right wing, they're on radio and television all the time pounding the drum. So it's very confusing because, and again, we're blessed to be on Civic Media Network, AM 950 in the Twin Cities, but a lot of communities don't have progressive radio, and so they're constantly getting bombarded with right-wing politics.
Right. And those nasty commercials that were out there, you know, those were, didn't serve us any good, you know. And I think, you know, building political relationships is key. You know, I think, you know, a lot of our Rock the Vote, even the Block Party, where we engaged the candidates, we called them into our space because we feel it's necessary that we remind them that we're all treaty people. So a lot of people are like, Nancy, are you really a DFLer? It's like, no, I don't truly identify as a DFLer. I'm a treaty person. And we have to keep saying this over and over, Robert. Treaties are nonpartisan. So regardless of what political party you belong to, we all have to uphold those treaties. So what we're working on, this is what excites me the most, is that when we think about the Minnesota State Convention 2024, this is the big convention, the presidential one, is that we're going to show up as a treaty delegation, treaty people. So just like we did, you know, here during the 2022 State Convention in Minnesota, we showed up as treaty people. Christian dressed in drag with the big honor of the treaties. And we built so much political relationships while we were there. And I think that's key to showing up and making sure that, you know, people don't forget that we're here.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here in about 30 seconds, but I'm really excited. I'm saddened that North Dakota Representative Ruth Buffalo was defeated, but the gerrymandering in North Dakota is insane. And we'll still have to have her on and talk over things. And I did see Red Dawn Foster barely won and held her seat in South Dakota as a state senator there. But we're blessed to have people come on the show and talk over issues and let people know what they're doing in a good way. But let's keep up the good work. Nancy, we're gonna have you on for a little bit more after this these commercial breaks. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake with Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350 and MN350. And we'll have Wendy Pilot with the Sacred Animal Section up coming up, too. We'll be right back after this short break. Ahoo!
Stay with us.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, "Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out."
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
AP News. I'm Ed Donahue. Sources tell the AP the head of U.S. Customs and Border Protection is being forced out.
Chris Magnus tells the Los Angeles Times he's been asked to step down or face termination, and he's defending his record and says he won't resign. Two sources tell the Associated Press the move is part of a larger shakeup expected at the Department of Homeland Security. In the fiscal year that just ended September 30th, there was a 37% increase in the number of migrants stopped at the border, surpassing 2 million for the first time. It's more than twice the highest level during the Trump administration. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says special military units have entered the city of Kherson, hours after Russia said it had completed withdrawing troops from the city. Kherson is one of the first cities to be captured in the war in Ukraine. The withdrawal could act as a springboard for further Ukrainian advances into occupied territory. At the COP27 climate change summit in Egypt, President Biden says new spending on clean energy initiatives has cemented the country's commitment to fighting global warming. He spoke about a new supplemental rule that will crack down on methane emissions. Methane is a potent greenhouse gas that contributes significantly to global warming.
Methane is 80 times more potent than carbon, and it accounts for nearly half of the net warming we're experiencing now. So cutting methane by at least 30% by 2030 can be our best chance to keep within reach of 1.5 degrees Celsius target.
The U.S. has committed some $375 billion over a decade to fight climate change. Days after Election Day, Democrats are holding on to narrow leads in key Arizona contests. But the races for U.S. Senate and governor there are still too early to call. About a fifth of the total ballots are left to be counted in Arizona. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life.
That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey everyone, I just want to let you know that All My Relations Art is pleased to present She Who Lives on the Road to War by Rosie Seamus Dance. It started October 6th and runs through December 15th of 2022. The project is a new installation and includes in-gallery performances through December 15th of 2022. The performances run in the evenings and are available at the Native American Community Development Institute website at NACDI.org or at allmyrelationsarts.com. She Who Lives on the Road to War is an immersive installation and dance performance created by Rosie Seamus in response to global loss and the collective need to come together in peace and reconciliation. The project takes its title from one of the names of the Haudenosaunee historical figures whose wisdom and vision helped Hiawatha and the Peacemaker bring the nations together as the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. She Who Lives on the Road to War is a place for visitors to rest, grieve, console, and meditate. Audiences are invited to gather, rest, grieve, and condole with one another to consider how we can all work towards reconciliation during the dual pandemics of systemic racism and COVID-19. Really, really amazing performance. I've heard really good things about it. Again, go to allmyrelationsarts.org to find out more information and get your tickets before December 15th.
Yeah, I did see the opening. I was there for the opening. And also, Rosie is related. Her mother was Laura Woodstock, and she was just honored a few days ago by the Warrior Women. And I got to see Rosie. I also got to see Madonna Thunderhawk and their crew in Minneapolis. And it was amazing to see them. And they were all firing up because they were going. Madonna Thunderhawk was going to Washington D.C. for the free Leonard Peltier rally. So it's just all connected. It's just crazy. But yeah, go see that. And great opening there, Ogma. Hey, we're back here with Nancy Bolio of MN350, and we're just kind of brushing up, ending our political talk here until we start talking more about politics. But Nancy, thanks for coming on again. And there was some disappointments, but also some great wins here in Minnesota.
I totally agree with that, too. And I want to give a shout out to all the candidates. Many of them are just, you know, community members stepping it up because, again, we're learning how to play this game. We just got to get a little bit better at playing it. And I think, you know, even through midterms, there's a lot of things that we learned that, you know, especially with our boots on the ground being out there like we did, what we can do better. And we feel, you know, as much as funding we need, sometimes we don't get the funding we need, but we're going to find ways to make sure that our people here are engaged. And one of those ways that we're going to do that is, you know, Robert, we're having conversations about podcasting now. And so I hope I put a twinkle in your ear there. And yeah, so I think it's really important that we have a platform where our people can find out how the world of politics work in layman's term, because I like things simple myself. And I think, you know what, that's what we need to know. How can we do this and be more effective at how we show up? And I think, again, you know, showing up as treaty people is really important. And, you know, what really excites me about that, when the DFL ticket came to town, Walsh and Peggy and all them, just the Saturday before election, so it was at the 5th or something, right. we had a couple different groups come up to us and say, we love how you guys show up. You guys show up as treaty people. And again, we don't identify as DFLers. Our work is, we might support some of the DFL platform. But then again, we're here as treaty people, reminding all political parties that treaties exist and that they too have to honor those treaties. And when you think about our work back in 2020, actually just this year, May, at the state convention, we got treaties on the action agenda. Yeah. So that means people like myself, we still have work to do. I mean, it sounds great that they're on there, but they're only going to sit there and just sit there unless people like myself really put some teeth to it and make something happen. So we're excited that's there. We're excited about having conversations about podcasting. And we're also going to encourage more of our relatives to step it up in 2024, because I think there's a lot of great role models out there that can help lead the way. And I think, you know, even some of these candidates that didn't win their campaigns, they're still going to be in the community fighting a good fight. So I think there's still a lot of power to that.
Absolutely. And, you know, we support podcasts and we support all those things to get the vote out there and to have people understand. Like I say, I'm a old junkie from way back when it comes to political. But I got rejuvenated by Wendy and her support with Obama when Obama was coming around, because I wasn't too sure about him. And now I got a picture with him, and we're good buds now. But Wendy, you turned me on to politics again, right?
Yeah, that's awesome, Robert. I think that you liked the lobbying that I did at our state capitol, advocating for our animals. So, yeah. Yeah, we all help each other.
Yeah, you know, and I think we're just, you know, inspiring each other, you know, to keep showing up, and regardless of the outcome, there's always work to do. And, you know, again, our work is really focused on showing up and representing ourselves as treaty people. And I think what's really important to that is teaching our people how to engage, because I think, you know, engagement is key. And also building those relationships with your local elected officials. And if you have the opportunity, make relationships with the state elected officials. So, you know, showing up at some of these colonized spaces might seem boring, but it also it gives you an opportunity to address the issues, you know, address treaties, and, you know, continue to tell them how we're going to show up. And I think what really stands out to me the most is the sheriff's race here in Beltrami County. We had the opportunity to attend their forum and their meet and greet. And Robert, no surprise, they already know who I was. And they actually gave us kudos for staying in peace and nonviolent way out to Camp Firelight during our 8-day occupation. And right. I felt that was, you know, kind of opening the door to what I had to say next. And I reminded these elected, or not elected, but these candidates for the sheriff's race that we won our treaty case, and what that means to us here locally, what that means just all over Turtle Island. But I think, you know, there was an understanding because we had a relationship, you know, a mm-hmm. conversation building on relationship. And quite to our surprise, both candidates came to our block party, and they, especially Sheriff, he's now the sheriff, the new sheriff in town, Jason Riggs, really leaned in and mingled within our community at the block party. And that, you know, it speaks volumes. But again, there's tons of work to do. But he made mention to Justin that win or lose this sheriff's race, he wants us to come into law enforcement here in our county, Beltrami County, and do a little treaty 101. And I think that's the beginning, you know, of something. But again, you know, there's no promises, but it's us, Robert, that have to show up into their spaces now and hold their feet to the fire. So there's a lot of good things we can still do here, and working, you know, on responsibility when it comes to being good neighbors.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it is not too soon to talk about 2024. And that's what we'll be concentrating on. We really appreciate you coming by. I know you're really busy, Nancy, and we really appreciate our Tuesdays together. And let's talk more about what's coming up, and really appreciate you.
Right. And I think, you know, moving into, you know, the Tuesdays into the future, I think we're going to spend a little bit more time on how we as treaty people can assert our power within the powers and remind them that we're still here. So I think we're in the beginning of creating our own non-political party within the political parties.
Right on. And treaties matter. Thanks again for stopping in.
Thanks for having me.
Right on. Wow, Wendy, Nancy's always really awesome to talk to, and, you know, she's a doer, and, you know.
Well, she sure is. Like she said, you know, they had a block party, and people know her. The candidates for sheriff knew her, so that's because she's out there, and she's being, you know, she's out there, you know.
Exactly.
So that's great. Yeah. When I'm here in New York, as I am right now, I don't listen to any news, which is pretty good for my soul, but I don't really know what's going on at all. Has there been any announcements today at all for the 2024?
That's supposed to be tonight.
It's supposed to be tonight. Okay.
I was wondering if that happened yet. Hour after our show, the orange one's going to say he's running again, and that's good news for us after this whole debacle of what should have been a red tsunami, but he endorsed a lot of candidates that were crazy, and here we are winning the Senate and are going to be really close in the House where we can push people over that aren't crazy.
Yeah. Maybe you could answer this, Ogama or Robert or somebody who's listening. I heard on one of on something I was listening to that right now there's some entity of the Republican Party that is paying for Trump's legal fees right now, and when he announces that he's going to be running, that they won't be doing that anymore. And the analysis came out that if they're not going to pay for his legal fees, that he's not really going to be able to do that. He's going to run out of money. So I'm wondering if that is.
Let me just say this, Wen. Him running is a cash cow for him because people are giving him money.
They donate to him.
So
I know. Some,
he's. That's so right. That's a cash cow for him. So he's making money. He don't care. And you remember when he first ran, he didn't anything. He didn't have anything going on. He didn't even have like an election people to, and money was just rolling in. So.
Right.
But it's a new day. He's I think the Republican Party's getting a little sick of him. And but we aren't. We want him to run and lose again. So that's. That's what I'm all about. So, hey, up next, Wendy with our sacred animal portion. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we had Nancy Bolio on, and it was great, and Ogama with the news. It's like old-time Native Roots Radio going on here on Tuesday. Ho-wa.
Yeah, I'm a little rusty, so we'll see what happens. Stay tuned.
Well, I'm on every day, and I'm still rusty, so one of these days I'll get this down and... I am going to crown myself the king of ums. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
And we're going to show a video of Roger Stone recorded by Danish filmmakers.
Just Google Roger Stone Monopoly Man.
You remember the old Batman TV series? He looks like the Penguin.
It's like a bad costume for A Christmas Carol.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And I know that firsthand because I was in that every year as a kid. Always a street urchin, never a cratchit.
That needs to be the title of your autobiography. Always a street urchin, never a cratchit.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 a.m.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out The Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 24 today under overcast skies with a chance for scattered snow showers. West winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight. Chance for snow showers. Lows dip down to about 6 above. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Highs around 28. About an inch of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
I just showed my wolf. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she has been one of the founders of Native Roots Radio and has been on for over 6 years and does an animal, sacred animal portion on the show. Welcome, Wendy. What do you got?
Hey, everybody. How is everybody? It's been a while since I've been on the radio. It feels good. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Thank you, Curtis. And Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I am a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. I'm keeping it light today, but I have a couple of really good articles here that I wanted to talk to people about. You know how people talk about how, like, if they're petting their cat or they have a dog that helps their well-being? Well, there's a report and a study that's done by King's College of London. There's new research from King's College London that has found that seeing or hearing birds is associated with an improvement in mental well-being that can last for 8 hours or more. This improvement was also evident in people with a diagnosis of depression, the most common mental illness worldwide, indicating the potential role of wildlife in helping those with mental health conditions. Published in Science Reports, the study used smartphone application called Urban Mind to collect people's real-time reports of mental well-being alongside their reports of seeing or hearing songbirds. Now, I know that when I'm, in the morning, hearing the birds in the morning always improves my mindfulness, and it gives me a feeling of peacefulness. So I could see that definitely could help. And many animals, like I said before, cats and dogs and other animals that we have around us always help our mental health. So very cool. I have another article here. This is an NPR article, and this is by Vanessa Romo, and it's dated November 5th, 2022, so just around 10 days ago. When put to the test, bees, our bumblebees, have proved over and over again that they've got a lot more to offer than pollinating, making honey, and being fiercely loyal to a queen. The industrious insects can count and alter their behavior when things seem difficult. And now some scientists say there's proof they also like to play. A study recently published in the Animal Behavior suggests that bumblebees, when given the chance, like to fool around with toys. Researchers from Queen Mary University of London conducted an experiment in which they set up a container that allowed bees to travel from their nests to a feeding area. But along the way, the bees could opt to pass through a separate section in the with smattering of small wooden balls. Over 18 days, the scientists watched as the bees went out of their way to roll wooden balls repeatedly despite no apparent incentive to do so. The finding suggests that, like humans, insects also like to interact with inanimate objects as a form of play. Also similar to people, younger bees seem to be more playful than adult bees. So that was kind of fun to find out that bees like to play. I'm sure there's other insects out there that like to play as well. I'll have to take a look at this. Another article I have, this is actually from CNN. A crew of Canadian service dogs watched a live musical as part of their training. Now, if anybody's watching us on Facebook, this is a hilarious picture of a movie theater, and it's filled with these service dogs. When the cast of a Canadian production of Billy Elliot, the musical, took their final bow after a recent show, the audience did not make a single sound, not even a woof. A polite crowd of about a dozen future service dogs attended in August performance at the Ontario Stanford Festival as part of their training. While a silent curtain call might disappoint actors, the dogs' spellbound stillness is a great sign for their future handlers. The event was part of a two-year training program by Canine County in Working Service Dogs. Head trainer Laura McKenzie told CNN, the future service dogs have toured zoos, subways, and crowded fairs to assimilate them to the unfamiliar lights and sound, rapid movements, and bustling crowds they might encounter with their handler, she said. At the theater, the dogs are expected to sit under the seat or curl up at their handler's feet while their humans enjoy the show, she said. They stayed calm and quiet throughout the performance, but a few curious pups peeked their furry heads over the seats to catch a few minutes of the show, she said. So I think that's really cute, right? All these dogs and these service dogs really have a lot of responsibility. And, when you see a service dog with their little vest on that says service dog, I know myself, my first instinct is to go up and, want to talk to the dog or pet the dog. But you should always ask their handlers if they should, if you could be able to do that. Robert, remember when we were traveling, I think we were going to Cooperstown, New York, and we were in the airport. I can't remember where right now. But anyway, there was a woman there, and she had her dog around the airport terminal. And the reason why is because, a lot of people feel really, really stressed out at the airport. They're traveling. They may not be traveling for a good reason. They might be going to see a sick loved one, or it's a stressful time. And she brought her dog to the airport just to let people pet her dog, talk to her dog, take a picture with her dog. And do you remember what airport that was? I can't remember. It was a connection from here to Albany.
Right. It was the one between
between
Albany. Yeah. I can't remember, but
yeah. But anyway, it was awesome. And I know at MSP Airport in one of the terminals, I'll have to look it up, they do have like a dog or a cat that you could, go go pet and calm your nerves. So, yeah.
It's important. They do calm your nerves. I mean, you know, our dogs, they lean right against us and you can feel it. And then your attention may be towards them as opposed to what you might be stressed out about, whether it's the election or the weather or things that, you know, we can and can't control, you know.
Right. I know our dogs come to us when they know we're stressed to comfort us.
Yeah, yeah they do. They do. And they miss you, by the way.
I miss them, too.
Right on. Hey, you've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Wake. Thank you so much, Wendy, for that fun report, as always. Ogama Pinigigi for the news and the updates, and Nancy Bolio, thank you so much for stopping in and talking a little politics. If you're listening to the show, you're a part of the resistance. You need to resist, divest, join a group, or run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Don Brown, host of This Week in Waukesha, inviting you to catch our coverage of this year's 2022 Waukesha Christmas Parade, Sunday, December 4th. The coverage starts at 3.